Here this morning, please turn with me again to Psalm 119, or if you're American, Psalm, but you aren't, so thank God it's Psalm 119. I can call it Psalm and you know what exactly I'm talking about. If you want to find it, open it in the middle of your Bible, unless you've got a lot of notes at the back, and you will come to Psalm 119. It is the longest chapter in the entire Bible, and we already have preached one message on it, but I'm going to continue here this morning. Psalm 119, verse 1, reading from verse 1 through to verse 16 here this morning. Psalm 119, and my message this morning, holiness by the word, or holiness by the word of God. Psalm 119 and verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal, or how, shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray this morning as we come to these wonderful ancient words that have been placed in written scripture here this morning. Father, I do thank you for the precious word of God, these ancient words that came out of the very heart of our heavenly Father before anything was created. These words that we have in this book, O God, were within your heart. They were uttered by your lips to the Son. And Lord God, by the Holy Spirit, they have been put and preserved in the written text of scripture. I am so glad for a book that I can read this morning that contain words of eternal life, words that are sure and stable, words that will never fail me, that will not deceive me, and will not falter, O God, in the day of trouble. I thank you for this eternal book. Lord God, you have said in Psalm 119, Lord God, that your word is settled forever in heaven. Lord God, I do thank you for the word of God. Lord God, you have exalted your word above your name. And Lord God, I do praise you and magnify this morning. Will you minister to us, O God? Will you feed the sheep of God this morning? Lord God, I do bless the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. Here this morning, my message is holiness by the word of God. Holiness by the word of God. A few weeks ago, we preached the first message from Psalm 119. And my first message was guidance by the word. Or guidance by the word of God. If I can remind you just for a moment, as we looked at Psalm 119, verse 105. Remember what we said. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as we looked at that verse and that entire paragraph, we saw that the word of God brings guidance in your walk. and guidance in your weakness, and guidance in your worship. That this book, the written scripture, is to be a lamp unto your feet. We don't need to wait for a dream, or a special revelation, or prophecy, or an illumination of the word of God. This word is a lamp. The written book, the written scripture, is to guide you and lead you in every decision, every circumstance, even through the storms of life. But I want to move a bit further here. That was guidance by the word. But now this morning I want to deal with holiness by the word. The same word of God that guides you is the same word of God that makes you holy. The very same word of God. And I want to give you a secret here to holiness of life and holiness of tongue and holiness of thought. Do you know what the secret is? It's all in the word of God this morning. Do you remember what we said last time? That in the Hebrew Old Testament alphabet, there are 22 letters of the alphabet in the Hebrew language. And we saw that Psalm 119 is broken into 22 separate sections or paragraphs. And each one of those 22 paragraphs start with that letter of the alphabet. And in each one of those sections, there are 8 distinct statements or verses. And each of those 8 verses start with that letter of the alphabet. So when we come to Psalm 119, verse 1 to verse 8, you'll see at the top of your page, it has Alpha. That is A in the Hebrew alphabet. It's Alpha. And do you realize that in the Hebrew written text of Psalm 119, all 8 of these verses begin with the letter Alpha? The literal text, 8 statements about the Word of God. Do you remember what we said about Psalm 119? It is a psalm all about the Word of God. Every single verse, sentence, statement is all about the importance of God's written scripture. And here this morning, I want to deal with holiness by the Word of God. And there's much said in this psalm about how to be holy, how to get holy, the secret to holiness, how you go from being unsanctified to being sanctified. The secret is through the Word of God. Since the Word of God is involved in your salvation, but it's the blood of Jesus that saves you. It's the blood of Jesus that forgives you. It's the blood that brings you into a relationship with God. But it's not the blood that sanctifies you. Hear me for a moment. The blood does not sanctify you or make you more holy. The blood is actually to save you, to forgive you, to make you instantaneously right with God on the first day of salvation. But it's the Word of God that sanctifies you, that changes you, that molds you, and makes you more like Jesus. Our message, holiness by the Word of God. Jesus in John chapter 17, verse 17. Listen to what he prayed to the Father. Father, sanctify them. Who is them? The disciples. Those who have believed on him. Those who have received eternal life. He's actually praying for them. And he says, Father, sanctify them. Those who have been born again, sanctify them. Make them holy. Make them pure in their lifestyle. How? Through thy truth. Then he tells you what truth is. Lots of people talk about truth today. Well, I believe the truth is. I don't care. I really don't care. What does Jesus say truth is? Thy word is truth. Thy written scriptures are truth. You want to know truth? This is truth. We don't debate about truth. We don't try to find out truth. Truth is here to be received. And what's Jesus praying? Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. Sanctify them, make them holy through your word. He also says in John 15 verse 3, now you are clean. Do you want to be clean this morning? I mean sitting here, do you want to be so clean? I'm not saying forgiven. I'm not saying washed in the blood. Do you want to be so clean sitting here? I mean feeling clean, knowing that you're clean, knowing that you're pure. As a Christian, Have you not sinned since being a Christian? Has things not arisen in your life? Do you want to be clean? Listen, he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you know the power of God's word? One sentence, one verse. Today people mock taking little verses out of their context, separating it and making much of a verse. Jesus did that. The apostles done that. Paul done that. Peter done that. They can take one statement and that one verse is enough to change your life. It's enough to make you clean. Saints, the word of God can make you clean. It can set you free. It can bring you back to a condition where you go, I feel so clean. I feel so pure. It's as if I never ruined my mind with the things of this world, or I never uttered an unclean word. We are dealing with how this morning the word of God makes you holy. Holiness by the word of God. And it's all here in these first 16 verses that we have read. And this is my message from Psalm 119. And I've got 4 points for you here this morning. My first point is a happy man. We're going to see about this author who wrote Psalm 119. He's a happy man. He's a holy man. He's an honest man. And he's a humble man. And it's all here in these first 16 verses of Psalm 119. First of all, we see in verse 1, he is a happy man. You see, some people think it's David who wrote that. Wrote this psalm. Others think it is Daniel. Some say it's Hezekiah. I actually believe it's probably Ezra of the Old Testament. You know why? He was a man who could read the word of God and expound it from first thing in the morning to last thing at night, and he'll keep you standing all the way through it. He is a man who can take Psalm 119 and he can, in 176 separate statements, just keep talking about the word of God. He was a Bible teacher. He was a gifted man of God. He loved the word of God. And I think there's a good argument to say it was Ezra. And if it is Ezra, if he is the writer, the penman of this, then I want to tell you, he was a happy man, he was a holy man, he was an honest man, and he was a humble man. But first of all, a happy man. Read with me verse 1 and verse 2. It says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. Twice in these two first verses, he opens his statement with blessed. He's talking about a certain group of people who have a relationship with the word of God. And what does he say about them? Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. He's speaking about a certain type of person. And I want to tell you, all people are not blessed. And I want to ask you this morning, are you blessed this morning? You might say, oh yes, I'm blessed. I've got clothes on my back. I'm not talking about that. You might say, well, I could be dead this morning. I'm not talking about that. Not everyone is blessed of God in the way that this is talking about, because it has everything to do with this book. Are you blessed by this book, or are you not blessed? Are you sitting here and you're not enjoying the blessing? What is this I'm not talking about the Toronto blessing. That was a curse from hell. I'm talking about a blessing of the word of God. This word blessed, used twice by this psalmist. Do you know what it means? It means happy, or it means happiness. But it's actually a plural word. It doesn't mean just happy. It means happiness. Happy, happy, really happy, often happy, frequent times of experience and happiness from the word of God. In other words, you could be sad this morning, but the word of God can make you happy. You could be sad in the middle of a crisis, but don't worry, the word of God will revive your happiness again. Are you blessed this morning? Your heart could be breaking, and yet you say, I'm a blessed man. I am a blessed woman. coming. Are you real happy this morning? I'm not talking about a silly grin. I'm not talking about a funny laugh. I'm saying, are you really blessed? Because in these verses we realize we're told what it means to be blessed. I'm going to tell you and you're going to know, oh, I don't feel giddy this morning. I don't feel like dancing this morning. I don't feel like shouting this morning. I'm not asking that. Are you blessed? Are you real happy? Saints, the happiness of this world is temporal. It's temporal. It passes. But I'm talking about something very different. You see, in this world, they think that happiness is connected with being prosperous. That's what they think. If I've got lots of money in my pocket, or if everybody likes me, then I'm a happy man. Then your happiness is nothing. I'm talking about a happiness connected with the Word of God. This word blessed, the root word in the Hebrew, it means to be straight, to be level, to be right, to go straight forward, to be honest, to prosper in the things of God, to be guided by the Word of God, or to be led by God Himself. That's what the word blessed means. You see, we in our carnal thinking in this world, we connect happiness with pleasure, with feeling pleasure, or with physical prosperity, or having great power that's noted in the world, or being popular with our peers, or having a position at work, or in our city, or even in the church. We think, I'm happy because I have all of these. And if all of these things were taken away, would you be happy? You see, if you lose all those things, and you lose your happiness, then your happiness is of this world, and it's not of God. What is real happiness? It is to be blessed in the Word of God. Notice what it says here, first of all. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. What's the definition of being blessed or happy or being real happy? It is blessed are the undefiled in the way. You see, I can tell you if you're blessed this morning, you are undefiled in the way. Do you know what it means to be undefiled? It means to be entire, to have integrity, to walk in the truth, or to have truth in your heart. It means in your life to be without blemish, to be complete, full, lacking nothing, to be perfect, to have sincerity, or to be transparent in your life. Nothing hidden, nothing covered. You are complete in God. You see, the Bible says, who is the man who's blessed? Or who is going to have real happiness? It is the man who is undefiled. He is sincere. He is holy. He is pure. He is true. You see, to be sound, to be upright, that is a certain type of people. Not everyone is like that, saints. You can't have this blessedness from God unless you walk upright in the way of the Lord. If you don't walk upright, you can never experience this happiness. And even as a Christian, if you neglect walking right before the Lord, you're never going to enjoy the joy of salvation. So he begins to show us what a really happy man is. He is blessed in being undefiled in the way. When he uses the way there, undefiled in the way, he also says, who walk in the law of the Lord. Look at this man. He is in the way. He is walking in a way that is undefiled. That word way there is used 13 times in this psalm. It means to walk in a certain course according to the Word of God. It is the pathway that we walk, or the way that we live before God. And in fact means following the map of God's Word. Do you know the map of life is this book? This is your map. And when you walk according to the Word of God, you are literally walking according to the map of God's Word. Lots of people aren't following God's map. That's why it's a disaster. That's why there's no blessedness in their life. That's why they don't have the hand of God upon them. Why? This is not their map. They'll say, I think, well, I'm going to do this. Well, I've made a decision. But this is not the map that they're using. But you know what? If you want to be really happy, walk undefiled in the way. How you live your life, how you walk before God, is it according to the Word of God? We're told in the Scriptures, Enoch walked with God. You see, whether you walk with God or whether you don't walk with God matters. It does matter. No Christian can say they're saved by God's grace and not walk with God. If you're not walking with God, you're not saved. Listen to me here this morning. If you're not walking with God, how do I know I'm walking with God? You're walking according to the Word of God. If you don't walk according to the Word of God, you're not walking with God. It says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together, except they be agreed. There's many in this city, many who have passed through this church who say, I walk with God and God walks with me. No, you do not. No, you do not. You see, if you're not walking according to this word, how can two be agreed? If you don't agree with this book, God is not walking with you. You're not saved. You're not born again. You need a meeting with Jesus Christ, because those who walk with God walk according to this word. Do you think that you're going to cast aside the Word of God and say, oh God, I want you to walk with me? He's going to say, you're going to agree with my Word or I'm not going to walk with you. But since there are those who walk in an undefiled way, they have actually made the path they walk undefiled. It says in Psalm 119 verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Look at this man again. He says, I'm walking in liberty. You know why? I'm seeking. I'm hungry for what the Word of God says. Do you know what the word liberty means? It means to come into a large room or a big wide space or a place with plenty of room for me to dwell in. You see, I've seen lots of people in the church. You preach the Word of God or you say what the Word of God says and they go, that's cramping my style. You know, you go, you're laying burdens upon me. Or you're laying weights upon me. Or I don't want to walk on eggs around you. Or I don't want to walk on a knife edge. Why? Because I told you what the Word of God says. Do you know what this psalmist says? He actually says, for I seek your precepts. I'm looking for them. You know the famous missionary C.T. Studd? There was one of his mates when he was in university in England. And he was there and his light was burning in the early hours of the morning. I think about 4:30 or 5 in the morning. And his mate come and banged on the door. He says, what are you doing up so early? And C.T. Studd was on his knees reading his Bible. He says, I am searching the Scripture for a command that I did not yet know, so that I can keep it and glorify God. That's not legalism. Do you know those who seek after the Word of God? That isn't a restriction. That isn't a bondage. You know what? It brings you into great freedom. Those who are restricted by the Word of God. Those who are restricted by the Word of God dwell in places that no one else can. It's places of happiness, of liberty. You get these mopey Christians who say, man, we'll have to go to church. Then you're not saved. Man, he expects us to give to God. Then there's something wrong with you. There's really something. You don't need to do anything you don't want to do. I don't do anything I don't want to do. But I do want to be in church on a Sunday. I do want to give to God. I do want to evangelize someone. I do want to read the Bible. I do want to pray. Since this is liberty in the Holy Ghost. And you know what? I'm searching after the Word of God. When you seek after God's Word, oh God, show me what I'm not doing right. Show me how to live right before you. You know what that is? That is true liberty. If anyone tells you that true liberty can be found apart from the clear commands of Scripture, they don't know what liberty is. That is license. License without the Word of God. If you have liberty and it's not in line with the Spirit, it is not true liberty. It is a deception. He says that in this way, who walk in the law of the Lord. This man is walking in the law of the Lord. Who is the blessed man? He is walking in the law of the Lord. Oh, I'm not under law. I don't obey law. I don't believe in the commands. You know, there's preachers started coming into Northern Ireland in recent times, and they say, no, don't preach any commandments. We're under grace. We're in the new covenant. We're in Christ. We're in the New Testament. So it's very important that we don't lay any heavy burdens on Christians that they can't keep fulfill. So don't tell them what to do. Just tell them the promises and the blessings and the provision. But don't give any commands or any instructions, or don't say anything authoritative. What a deception. Do you know what he's saying here? A truly happy man. A doubly happy man. A really happy man. Who is he? He is walking or having his life in the law of the Lord. Notice what law means. It means the written word of God. The concrete word of God. The inspired word of God. The unchanging word of God. And I'm walking in it. I'm living my life. There's things written in this book. I'm living in it. And you know what? I'm a happy man. I'm a happy man when I walk according to this. You know what most of your heartache comes from? When you don't walk in the law of the Lord. Well, I think I'm going to do this. Well, sure, I don't need to worry about that. You're not a happy man, I can assure you. Happiness comes from walking in the law of the Lord. Notice whose law it is. It's not man's law. It's not LCC's law for sure. It's not a preacher's law or an apostle's law. It is the law of the Lord. Notice that statement, law of the Lord. Notice how it's a capital letters, capital L-O-R-D. Do you know that's the word Jehovah or Elohim? Or sorry, let me say that again, that's wrong. It's Jehovah in the Old Testament. Or it's Yahweh. A better pronunciation of it is Yahweh. When God revealed himself at the beginning of the Bible, he revealed himself as Elohim, the covenant God, the plural God, the God who makes covenant with himself. That's what Elohim means. In the beginning God. That's Elohim. But do you know what the second name God ever revealed himself as was? Jehovah or Yahweh. And it's the word used here. The law of Jehovah. The law of Yahweh. Do you know what that means? It means the one who is self-existent. It's always in capitals in our King James Bible. It's the self-existent one. Or the eternal God. Or the one who is. That he is. It is the one who is I am. Or the one who reveals his nature as being righteous. But it was not revealed until he gave the law to Moses. It says in Exodus chapter 6 that he didn't reveal himself as Yahweh unto Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. He didn't reveal himself unto them. But you know, to Moses and to Israel, when he gave the law on Mount Sinai, amidst the thunder and the fire and the shaking of the mount, he came down and he gave them instructions, written instructions. It says actually in Exodus 6, it was then that God revealed himself as Yahweh. This term is used about 6,500 plus times in the Old Testament. When God calls himself by a name 6,500 times, you better know that name. How do you, people say, oh sure I know God. Do you? You think you know God? I've met lots of Christians who say they know God. They don't know him as Yahweh. They don't know him. And they're certainly not walking in the laws of Yahweh or of Jehovah. Do you know what the actual name means? It means he that is righteous. The one who demands righteousness of all men. But the one who provides righteousness for those who will believe in him. A time came amongst the Jews they wouldn't use the name Jehovah or Yahweh. It's spelled with four letters and it's the unpronounceable name for God. They said this name of God is so holy we won't even speak it. We won't even use it. And in the 4th century AD they stopped uttering this name. They refused to utter this name. because it is so holy. Saints, do you know the Lord as Jehovah? Do you know Him as Yahweh? Do you know Him as the righteous God who says, I expect you to live holy? Most people have stopped with Elohim, the Creator, the one who's created all things, the one who makes a covenant with me through blood. That's wonderful. But do you know Him as Jehovah Yahweh? Do you know who He is? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who demands holiness. He is the one who is holy. But He's also one who says, I'll provide holiness. I won't leave you standing there. I want to make you holy. I've got the power to make you holy. It goes further in these first two verses. Blessed are they that keep His testimony. You want to be happy? Keep the Word of God. If you don't keep the Word of God, you will not be happy, I can assure you. You see, a happy man, this blessed man of God, keeps his testimonies. It means to keep them, to do them, to guard them, to protect them, maintain them, observe them, to watch over them. When I meet a Christian who says, I love Jesus, Jesus died for me, I immediately know who they're serving when I find out their attitude to the Word of God. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't believe it's perfect. You say, but the Bible says, I don't really care. I just know Jesus loves me. That reveals there's something seriously wrong. You're not blessed. You're seriously not blessed. Saints, I'm talking about holiness by the Word of God. How do you experience this blessing? Or how do you get happy? You know what? Through holiness by the Word of God. We're not talking about harsh commands. Never separate happiness from holiness. And never separate holiness from happiness. If you're not holy, you're not happy this morning. If you've been sinning the night away, you're not happy this morning. My preaching is a pain unto you this morning. It's an encumberment. It's an obligation. But you really don't want to hear this morning. Why does he have to preach on this? Because you so need it. You know what? If you're happy over my preaching this morning, then you're holy. But if you're not holy, you're not happy about my preaching. You're not happy with anything in life. You cannot be blessed of God. You are not blessed if you separate holiness from a walk with God. Listen here, other verses in this psalm. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word. There is happiness in the word of God. Verse 164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Or in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. You know what delight means? I am rejoicing. I make them my joy. They mean more to me than riches. Saints, that's the first thing about the author of this psalm. He is a happy man. He's not a sad man. He's not a gloomy man. He's not a holy grump. Do you hear me? There's people I've met in the church, they're so holy, but they're grumpy, and their tongue is longer than anything you have ever seen. It's longer than your arm. They gossip, and they lie, and they backbite, but oh, do they look holy. They're very old in the way of the Lord, but they criticize everybody. There they have all this knowledge, and their hair is just right, and their hat is just right, and their skirt is just right. But I assure you, they're not happy. You hang around them. There's no joy in the Lord. No rejoicing in the Lord. No enjoyment of the things of God. Saints, when you meet that type of person, you do not want to be what they are. They drive you away from the holiness of God. But show me someone who's really holy. There is a joy, a liberty, a freedom, a buoyancy in the things of God. He's a happy man. Secondly, he's a holy man. You said you've already said that. Yeah, I'm going to say an awful lot more, I assure you. He is a holy man. Not only a happy man, but he's a holy man. Look at verse 3. They also do no iniquity. Who? Those who are blessed of God. These blessed people who are walking right, they also do no iniquity. Are you blessed this morning? You do no iniquity. If you do no iniquity, you're blessed of God. You're happy. You're really happy. But if you walk in iniquity and live in iniquity and enjoy iniquity, you will never experience the joy of the Lord. Someone who lives like that, I can guarantee they've never experienced it. They're up and they're down. They're in and they're out. They don't even enjoy the things of God. They say, I know it's true, but you can't enjoy it. You don't enjoy it. And saints, with all of us, when we sin against God, you lose the joy of this. What did David pray? Oh Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What did you do? You played around with a girl, another man's wife. You played around with her just once in your life, and you lost the joy of this. And now you're trying to get the joy back. Saints, it's a real thing that holiness is connected to joy. He says in verse 3, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep them diligently. Notice he says, they also do no iniquity. This is a man of the word of God. Who is it that does no iniquity? A man of the word of God. A holy man, a happy man, he does no iniquity. The happiest men I've met in my lifetime were holy men. And you know what they said? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. When Potiphar's wife comes in, me and you can canoodle in the around the corner. My husband will never know. Do you know what he done? He ran for the door and he left his coat behind to his own detriment. But he ran from sin. When's the last time you ran from sin? When's the last time you tucked up your skirt and you ran down the street? Someone says, you must be a very weak Christian running. A bit of a cowardly man. No, I'm the strongest man you ever met. I'm going to stay as far away from sin. I'm not going to drink a Coca-Cola in a bar to socialize with sinners. I'll tell them, come on down the road, I'll get you a coffee. I'll buy you a big bun as well, and I'll sit and tell you about the Lord Jesus. I don't need to go sitting in a bar. You know what? You're very weak if you do that. You're putting yourself in the place of sin. I don't trust this flesh. If you think you're so strong, then you're a fool this morning. You know what? A happy man, a holy man, he does no iniquity. You know what iniquity is? Disobedience to God. How do you know iniquity? Oh, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, Brother Keith. Oh, I think it's just fine. But that's where this book comes in. You see, who are those blessed of God? They do no iniquity. How do we define iniquity? Well, you think this and I think this. No, what does the Bible say? Do you even search what the Bible says to find out what iniquity is? I want to know what iniquity is. And then I want to say no to it. You know why? I want to be happy and I want to be holy and I want to be right with God. Listen to what it says in verse 133. And it's a prayer. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Do you know what that means? To dominate you, govern you, or rule you. You see, a truly blessed man, a man who's spending time in this book, says, I don't want any sin. I don't want gossip to dominate me. I don't want lust to dominate me. I don't want any sort of pride or arrogance to dominate me. I don't want anything. You say, oh, I'm doing pretty good here. But do you tolerate things in your life? You see, the more you read the Word of God and love the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, this becomes your prayer. Oh God, help me. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. Do you notice here that verse 1 to 3 is a statement about these people? He's not talking to God. He's not talking to God. He's talking to us, and he's talking about these people who are pure and holy and happy and blessed of God and who are walking and keeping the word of God. But after the first 3 verses, this entire psalm becomes a prayer. You see, how are you going to be holy? Take heed to the word of God. But I tell you what, before that, you are going to pray. In Psalm 119, there are 70 clear distinct individual prayers. This psalm is filled with prayer. It becomes an entire prayer. I want to walk in your word. That's legalism. Saints, I'm telling you what's all through the church. If I began to pray in the prayer meeting, oh God, make me to keep your word. Help me to keep your word. My God, move upon me. I say, you're laying burdens on everyone. No, I am not. I need God to help me. I want Him to answer my prayers. I want to become someone who's holy. I want to be a holy man in this generation. Because most of the church is hellbound. Most of them are hellbound. You know why? They don't walk in this Word of God. They could care less about the Book of God. What your attitude towards this book is God's attitude towards you.
Yeah.
Let that sink in this morning. If you don't bother with this book, God won't bother with you. If you don't believe or obey this book, I can assure you that's God's attitude towards you. Don't think you have any more of God than you have of this book. And you don't have holiness or happiness apart from how much this book actually operates in your life. He goes further here in verse 4 and he says, Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Underline that word command. You see, this psalmist, this very blessed man, he knows that this Lord has commanded us to keep thy precepts. He has commanded. It's not advice. It's not a guidebook. It is a charge. He's not asking for suggestions. He's not looking for a discussion. This is God commanding you to keep the commandments of this book. He commands you. He tells you, well, I think. Do you know, if you treat God like that, you are the biggest fool and you'll end up in an eternal hell. Saints, I have bowed the knee to Him. That's what being a Christian is. I have submitted to Him. And you know what? His commandments are not grievous to me. They are not heavy to me. I go, do they cut into me? They do. They do. Do they shake me at times? They do. Does it convict me? Yes, it does. Does it cut me to the heart? Yes, it does. But it's not a heavy burden. What did Jesus say? He says, my yoke is light. It's not a heavy burden. Come join yourself to me. I'll put a burden on you that's very light. You know why? He's carrying it all. He is perfect. He walked this way. He did it all. Saints, and when I hear in the church suggestions, God help us. We were in Germany and I was in a church. I was there, drove to the other side of Germany. And I was coming back again. And I told the church and the pastor and those in ministry, I said, I'm coming back to preach the Trojan horse. It's the last message. It's the most important message of that school. And I'm going to be preaching it on that evening time. And I said, here's the notes to the translator. That young translator, very gifted, super gifted in translation. He had a remarkable mind, an eloquence and power. So I left the notes with him and says, you've got all the notes in there. Well, I got back and the pastor says, well, we were just talking. I told him to go and study afresh on the Trojan horse and to go back to Troy and to look it up on the internet. I said, but it's in the notes. It's in the notes. You don't need to go and study. I'm not asking him to preach his own message. Just do what I said. He's only a voice. He's only a translator. I don't want him to preach his own message. And then I got in the car with him. Him and me are driving to the meeting. And as we sat in the car, he knows the school. He went through the school. Do you know what he started saying to me? He says, well, first thing, well, I was in the bar with all my mates sitting there. And we got a beer. And I'm sitting there going, didn't say it to him. I said, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me this? Do you know what? He knows the message we're going to preach. And he knows what we stand for. And he knows I'm preaching that night. And here he is in that car. You know what? I stayed very quiet. I got to the church. Nobody's praying. Nobody's seeking God. Nobody's prepared. I got into that pulpit and I went, they have had weeks to prepare. They know what I'm preaching. They know it's a very weighty message. Do you know what I've done? I showed no mercy to that guy. It was the worst he ever translated. I went, I'm here to preach. I'm prayed up. I've got the Word of God. Saints, if I am like that, how much more God? Do you think God's going to come back and you say, well, Lord, you need to understand, I just couldn't keep your commandments and they were too heavy and you expected too much of me. And well, I didn't have time to read the Bible. You need to understand family and work and my time. And you know, I need to sleep longer than other people. I need 10 hours. I know you can survive in 6 hours or 8 hours. I need 10 hours. desires, or I won't look very beautiful in the morning, and I won't act very nice in the morning to you. Those people who get out of bed grumpy, that bite your head off, they need to go back to bed again. But no matter how much sleep they have, it doesn't seem to improve either their looks or their attitude. There's something wrong with them. Saints, the Word of God is a command. It's not a discussion. God won't understand if you lived in sin. Well, I'm going to heaven. I know Jesus. I'm blessed by Jesus, but I haven't kept the Word. And he'll understand. You're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. You need an awakening this morning. He actually says, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. It means completely. I like this bit, but not this. You don't have a choice. But I don't like that. So, do you want to walk with God or do you not? Do you want to change all of this and make it your own? Then it's not his law anymore. He's given clear commands what a Christian is, how they live, how the church functions. If you don't like it, you're in serious trouble. It means to do it with strength and energy. You see people coming into church. Saints, we ought to sing with all our strength and pray with all our strength and preach with all our strength. Saints, that's how we go and give our best to this world. I'll go in. See, you're not going to turn up late for your work if it's a decent boss. You'll say, go away home, I'll find someone else. I don't need you. I really do not need you. And we give God the worst, the leftover. Sure, he'll accept that. This is grace. This is grace. I can give God the lousy leftovers of my stinking life. And God thinks it's wonderful. And he says, aren't you so cute? Like some little baby. You know, I've seen some mothers with their little kids. And they're little brats. And they're proud and they're arrogant. And they come into your house. They come into my mom's house. I was there. And they'll rip something down. And they'll turn something over. And they scribble all over the wall. I'm giving you real stories here. And they scribble all over the wall. And there's mommy saying, oh, aren't they cute? And Keith Malcolmson is standing there going, I would strangle that kid, I assure you. I would take that little kid into the back room and that kid would be a little different if you leave him with me or her with me for just 1 week. We're going to find that God's word does work. Saints, what is holiness? Holiness is to be complete or healthy. Holiness is defined by the Word of God, not by you, not by any church. We believe you've got to do this to be holy. No, it's the Word of God. What is holiness? It is to be like Jesus. It's as much as the Word of God is in you. If the Word of God isn't in you, you're not holy. You're not holy. Oh, holiness is an experience. Oh, holiness is a doctrine. No. Holiness is walking according to the Word of God. I could care less where you're ecstatic or in. Just do it. If I'm a boss, just do it. Oh, but I didn't have I'm waiting for a feeling and then I'll do a job. No, just do it. Do you think holiness is all about feeling something? It's not. Holiness is obedience to a holy God to say, he is God and I am going to obey him. How to be holy? Look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Notice at the beginning of this psalm, some believe he started it as a young man, finished it as an old man. That may not surprise you. Do you realize this entire psalm was a lifetime in the making? He begins and he says, how shall a young man cleanse his way? How shall he become innocent? How is he going to be clear or pure or transparent? A young man. Brother Keith, you need to understand, a young man cannot live holy in the 21st century, in my workplace, in my college, in my family, on my street, in this city. I've heard people say, you can't be holy in this city. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Even, what's his name in Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot. Even Lot was righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't get involved in homosexuality. He didn't sleep with any young girls. He never got drunk once in that city. He was righteous. And yet he wasn't in a good place. Two angels had to drag him out of that city. How are you going to stay holy? How can you be holy? By taking heed to the word of God. Saints, there's something about listening to the word of God that'll keep you holy in this 21st century. It says in verse 11 there, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against you. Do you want to be kept from not sinning against God? Hide God's word in your heart. Well, I don't have time for that. Then you won't be holy and you won't be in heaven. I mean, that's a guarantee. If you do not have time for God, it's not about money. It's not about job. It's not about college. It's not about marriage. It's not about family. Saints, this is about a walk with God. If some people who call themselves Christians, if they treated me the way they treated God, boy, I can assure you, you wouldn't take it. Not one of yous in this room. Not one of yous. Not one of yous would take how some of yous treat God. If other people treated you like you treat God, you would get so angry. In a rage, you'd have something to say to that person, and yet you expect God to ignore it. Thirdly, he was an honest man. Look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. You see, he was not only a happy, blessed man. He was not only a holy man, and he was a holy man. But third of all, he is an honest man. Oh, that my ways were directed. Look at that word, oh. Oh, we miss it so easily. Do you know, it says, oh, 25 times in this psalm. Oh, is there. Oh, that I might be like him. What a powerful statement. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He's not looking back, he's looking forward. He's not dealing with what he is. He's actually dealing with what he wants to be. What he isn't yet. But he does want to be. He is talking about a deep desire for the future. He says, oh, that I might keep your commandments, your statutes. I long for this. You know what this shows? His weakness. It shows his humanity. It shows his anguish. It shows his pain of heart. He's not making excuses saying, do you know what? I'm living a pretty good life and I'm living a holy life. And it doesn't matter about other things. Sure, God will sort it all out. He doesn't say that. He says, I am living according to the word of God. I do want the word of God. But he's also an honest man. He's a real man. We're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about that. Saints, I've got issues that I'm working out in my heart. And there's things in this book I have still to make to function in my life. Are any of you the same as me? Where there are things and you go, but you have a deep cry in your heart. You say, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Sitting here this morning, can you look at your life and see areas that are not yet in line with the word of God? Are you sitting here saying, but I do love the Lord and I do keep his word. But there's areas I'm praying. Oh Lord, will you direct me into the word of God? Do you know when George Whitefield used to preach to tens of thousands in England? And do you know there was a famous actor, the most famous actor in England, came out to hear him preach and sat there spellbound as George Whitefield preached and preached powerfully to tens of thousands. And that actor went away and said, I have never heard anyone in my entire life speak more powerfully. No politician, no actor like that man. He said, if I could only learn to say, oh, the way George Whitefield says, oh, I would become a very rich man. Do you know why? George Whitefield was a man who desired to be holy. He didn't teach sinless perfection, but his entire being said, oh, that I might be a holy man. Since there's something about this cry that's burst of the Holy Spirit to say, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, I do want to be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ. Is that your cry? Oh, that I might be directed to keep it. He then says in verse 6, then shall I not be ashamed. Do you know the psalmist knew what it was to be ashamed? He knew what it was not to keep the word of God. He could look back and say, I didn't keep it there. And I didn't keep it there. And you know what happened? I became ashamed. When I don't keep the word of God, I have been ashamed. The word ashamed there actually means for your cheeks to go rosy red. It means to be embarrassed, disappointed, confounded, confused. Have you ever experienced that? Or are you here saying, I love the word of God, I want the word of God. But have you been ashamed when you disobeyed the word of God? Do you know, sinners aren't ashamed of disobeying the word of God. Say, sure, God loves me. I'm going to heaven. You can't tell me anything. There's no shame. And you know what, ladies? Leonard Ravenhill said, when our ladies lose the ability for their cheeks to blush, then the church is in serious trouble. If you ever lose the ability to become embarrassed, for your cheeks to go because of a certain situation, this church is in serious trouble. We live in a brazen age when nobody cares about anything anymore. I don't care. I'm not ashamed of my sin. We've had people in this church, they have got drunken and taken drugs and got girls pregnant, and there's no shame in it anymore. There's no shame. They're actually telling me I'm wrong. I'm wrong for expecting anything else. Saints, where's the shame gone? Look at this psalmist. He is an honest man. He's not sinlessly perfect. He's actually saying, I'm looking forward. I want to be right with God. I want to keep his statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When? Then shall I not be ashamed. When? When I have respect unto thy commandments. You know what respect means? I gaze at them. You see, when you don't gaze at the word of God, when you don't become transfixed by the word of God, when you don't become consumed by the word of God, you'll end up ashamed. I promise you, you will bring shame on your own head. You will disobey God's word. You will do things that embarrass you and that break your heart. Sin is not a friend. Sin is not a friend. Sin will steal from you. Sin will take you further than you ever thought you'd go. You know, we've heard of preachers who just start dabbling in pornographic stuff, become homosexuals, divorce their wife. I tell you, they never thought it would go there. Never thought. Just one drink. Just one smoke of that drug. I never thought it would go that far. You know why? You have been deceived by sin. It carries you, carries you, carries you. And you go, I don't even care about God anymore. Oh yeah, it all started with that first thing. That's where it actually takes you, saints. This was a real man. And he says, but you know what? I'm not going to be ashamed or embarrassed when I gaze or have respect for thy word, when I closely desire it and inspect it, when I respect all thy commandments. Oh, I don't need to worry about that. I just keep one or two. I'm a simple believer. Keep all his commandments. I'm under grace. Keep all his commandments. So was this man. Oh no, he's in the Old Testament. He's trying to keep the law. No mention of the temple here, or of the sacrifices here, or of ritual here. None of it. None in this whole psalm. It's all about the word of God. You know, Jesus read this psalm. You know, Jesus meditated on this psalm. You know, Jesus spoke about this psalm. Psalm 119. But lastly, let me finish here. He's a humble man. He's not only a happy man. He's not only a holy man. He's not only an honest man. But he is a humble man. Verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. He's again looking forward. Notice with this psalm, he's looking back, he's torn about now, and he looks forward. There's some things are in the past in his life. I have kept your word. I have done these things. But there's much that's still in the future that he hasn't attained unto yet. He is a humble man. He said, I have kept your word. Didn't make him proud. He is walking in the word of God. Didn't make him proud. He says, I will, future tense, praise thee with uprightness of heart. I am going to praise you. When? When are you going to praise God with uprightness? I mean worship him clear, absolutely pure. when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. You know, there's some things I don't know yet in this book, but I'm getting there. I'm getting there. There's some things in this book going to bring me into victory. Do you hear me, saints? There's some things you've been struggling over. I assure you there's an answer in this book. Find the answer in the book. Say, oh God, will you teach me? Will you show me? Will you instruct me from this book? You know why? It'll change your life in holiness. There is a key here. Pray, saying, Lord, will you show me this? He says, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Notice he was still learning. He hadn't learned everything. He is a humble man. You know what? He's a teachable man.
Yeah.
If you're not teachable, you're not holy. You're definitely not humble. If you think you know it all, you're far from God. Do you know, I've seen men, Brother Clendenin, up 85 years old, and he listened carefully to young believers. You know why? He's a teachable man. I went, man, this man knows the Word of God. He's preached all over the world. He's turned cities upside down. And here he is, he's learning, he's teachable. He's actually the most teachable man of God I've ever met in my entire life. I don't know a more teachable man than Brother Clendenin. But oh, what a holiness, what a humility, what a purity. I don't know a man who kept the Word of God more, was more diligent, and yet he was an honest man. Saints, we are to be honest and we are to be humble. There's a humility with walking with God. You're teachable. You say, I don't know it all. I've got much to learn. Humility, holiness, and happiness are the three triplets that every pregnant mother ought to desire. Every genuine Christian thinking about their future life, what they want burst forth in their life, ought to say, I want humility, holiness, and happiness, because all three go together. In verse 18, he says, open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Verse 18, I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Verse 27, make me to understand the ways of thy precept. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Verse 12, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With this I finish. Here the psalmist is saying, Lord, teach me your statutes. He didn't just read the book. He just didn't go to the book or try to find an answer. Do you know what he's praying? Lord, will you teach me? I've got your book. I've got all the books of the Bible. Some people don't have all the books of the Bible. I've got all the books of the Bible here. I've got the right ones, and I've got no added ones. And I've got all the right verses in there, and no missing sentences or verses in this book. I've got it all. But you know what, saints? I need to be praying. Lord, will you teach me this book? I want it to be real in my life. I am humble enough to ask. You know, people who don't ask for help usually make a mess of things. I've seen, I know how to do it. Maybe be careful about, no, don't tell me. I know how to work the vacuum cleaner or the clothes washer or something else. Saying, I could tell you some things from this room, but I don't want to embarrass anyone. I could tell you a few stories about a few things, but maybe I wouldn't get out of the room this morning. Do you know what humility means? You ask for help. And this psalmist is saying, Lord, will you teach me your statutes? I can read them. I understand what they're saying. But will you teach them to me? In verse 26, teach me thy statutes. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Verse 64, teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, teach me thy good judgments and knowledge. Verse 68, teach me thy statutes. Verse 108, teach me thy judgments. Verse 124, teach me thy statutes. Verse 135, teach me thy statutes. Do you get the message? All throughout this psalm, do you know what he's doing? Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. He's a humble man. Since he's looking into the future and he goes, some of these things I need to be taught them. I want them to become a part of my life. I want to learn. Since when I meet someone in any area of life who says, will you teach me? Will you teach me? And the first thing I say, they go, oh. I go, man, forget it. Forget it. You're not a teachable person. But in order to learn, he says in Psalm 119:21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. Not humble, proud. What does God do to the proud? If you're not humble and asking, teach me, I want to learn your word. Then you're proud. What does God do? Listen to that in verse 21. The proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Who are the proud? You err. You stray from his commandments. You're not keeping his commandments. You're proud. You're arrogant. No, I'm not proud. I'm humble. No, you're not. You're proud. If you do not keep his word, you're a proud man and you're a proud woman. And pride, what does God do? He resists it. He resists it. And in this verse, he says, you're cursed. If you're proud, you're actually cursed with a curse. And lastly, verse 18, you say, that's five, finally, it sure is. Verse 18, thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. If you stray from the word of God, you're deceived. See, if you don't stay with this book, you're an actual deceived person. I don't care what you say. You are actually a deceived person. You know nothing. But saints, I'm just instructing you what this Psalm 119 says. There's holiness by the word of God. Not only guidance by the word of God, but you can walk holy by the word of God. Just obey him. Just obey him. My two brothers, when they used to stand outside my dad's door, waiting for the belt, that terrible word we shouldn't use in this generation. And I would look at them, I'm 6 years younger than them, and the two of them stood at his door and they're weeping, blaming each other, waiting on dad. Dad always left it for a while. Go up, stand at my door, I'll be up. 20 minutes, he'll be up. And he left them stand there, crying, blaming one another. And I look at them and go, why didn't you just do what he said? And I'm a very simple person. I'm very intelligent. I failed all my school's exam, but I'm intelligent. You know, do something wrong, stand at dad's door, you're going to cry, blame each other. There's going to be screams out of that room shortly. Hey, just obey your parents. Why not make it easy on yourself? Since I'm a very simple person, I am going to obey the word of God. And I'm going to ask, Lord, will you help me? Because I cannot do this in myself. I'm weak. I want to be honest. I want to be humble. Yeah. I do need you. Let's stand and pray here this morning.